translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. Purport. Quite long purport, so please listen up. Parashya Shakta Vivahaya Suryate, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8. In the Vedas, it is said that the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called by different names, such as Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Ultimately, however, the Lord potency is one. The Lord's potency is one, exactly as the electric potency is one, although it can act both to cool and to heat. The Lord's potency acts in both the spiritual and material worlds. In the spiritual world, the Lord's potency works as Yogamaya, and in the material world, the same potency works as Mahamaya, exactly as electricity works in both a heater and a cooler. In the material world, this potency, working as Mahamaya, acts upon the conditioned souls to deprive them more and more of devotional service. It is says, Yaya Samohitam Jiva Atmana Trigunatmakam. In the material world, the conditioned soul thinks of himself as a product of Triguna, the three modes of material nature. This is the bodily conception of life. Because of associating with the three gunas of the material potency, everyone identifies himself with his body. Someone is thinking, he is a Brahmin. Someone is a Kshatriya. Someone a Vaishnava or Sudra. Actually, however, one is neither a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishnava, nor a Sudra. One is part and parcel of the supreme law, Mamai Vamsa. But because of being covered by the material energy, Mahamaya, one identifies himself in these different ways. When the conditioned soul becomes liberated, however, he thinks himself an eternal servant of Krishna. Jivar Surupoi Krishnera Nityadas. When he comes to that position, the same potency acting as Yogamaya increasingly helps him become purified and devote his energy to the service of the Lord. In either case, whether the soul is conditioned or liberated, the Lord is supreme. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, Maya Daksena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. It is by the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead that the material energy, Mahamaya, works upon the conditioned souls. Prakriti Kriyamanani Gunai Karmani Sarvasyaha Ahankara Vimudatma Kartaham Iti Manyate. Translation, the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer activities which are in actuality carried out by nature. So this is from Bhagavad Gita 3.27. Within conditioned life, no one has freedom, but because one is bewildered, being subject to the rule of Mahamaya, one foolishly thinks himself independent. Ahankara vimudatma kartahamiti manyate. But when the conditioned soul becomes liberated by executing devotional service, he is given a greater and greater chance to relish a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different transcendental statuses such as Dasyarasa, Sakyarasa, Vatsalyarasa, and Madhuryarasa. Thus, the Lord's potency, Vishnu Maya, has two features, Avaranika and Unmukha. And when the Lord appeared, his potency came with him and acted in different ways. She acted as Yogamaya with Yasoda, Devaki, and other intimate relations with the Lord. And she acted in a different way with Kamsa, Salva, and other asuras. By the order of Lord Krishna, his potency, Yogamaya, came with him and exhibited different activities according to time and circumstances. Yogamaya acted differently to execute different purposes desired by the Lord. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.13, Mahatmanas tumam pardan daivam prakriti asritaha. Mahatmas, who are fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, are directed by Yoga Maya, whereas Duratmas, those who are devoid of devotional service, are directed by Mahamaya. Om Agyan Timirandasya Gina Jina Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Bande Hum Shri Guru Shiyuta Padekamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagnat Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sujivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchina Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhischa Kripa Sindhu Paebhacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimakti Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavari Pastyatya Desthatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we're hearing about the the energy of the Lord known as Vishnu Maya, who manifests herself in according to the need of the time, or you might say according to the desires and activities of the living entities. As here, as Prabhupada points out, the energy is one, but it manifests itself accordingly. You might use another example. Prabhupada uses a nice example, how electricity is one, and when plugged into a heater or connected to a heater, it gives you warmth, and when it's plugged to an AC, you get cooling, right? So, but it's the same energy that's powering both the cooling and the heating apparatus. But the effects is not only different, but completely opposite. So here, we can also use another example that within the state, there is also a prison house. So those who break the law are forced to act under the state's law by going to the prison. And those who are apparently good citizens are free from that restriction and are, as Prabhupada would say, free to enjoy the benefits of the state. The state works for the good citizen and for the deviant citizen, but the state is one. So Mahamaya is Krishna's energy to continue to bewilder the conditioned souls who want to be bewildered. Why does a conditioned soul want to be bewildered? Because they want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So this is the original sin. Sometimes we wonder, what is the original sin? The desire to enjoy separate from the Lord. That's all. One thing you know that, then we can understand how to correct that. So enjoyment is part of life, but there's no question of separate enjoyment. Just like, if you break the laws of the state, there's no, in order to somehow enjoy outside of the state's laws or find some satisfaction, and there is more or less punishment rather than enjoyment. And so in the same way, the conditioned soul's under the influence of the energy of the Lord, and no one can be free from the Lord's energy. The Lord's energies are all pervading. No, sometimes people think, well, I want to be free. I want to simply act according to what I want to do or what I believe, either whimsically, intelligently, or surreptitiously. What are you, it's the different ways people want to express their, you know, independence. But either one was working under the Daivi Shakti or the Maya Shakti. Either one. There's no question of freedom. I remember I was driving my car in America. This was a few years ago. I was driving on a very busy highway. I think it was in Washington, D.C., and was much traffic. But there was one car that I noticed that was driving in and out of traffic really fast and quite recklessly. And I was thinking, this is dangerous. Somehow I got close to the car and I saw his license plate. It said, I'm free. So he was thinking that he was executing his freedom by causing everybody else anxiety. But at the same time, what kind of freedom is that? Because one is, you know, under the influence of the energy of accident or recklessness, inattention, something, you know. So no one is actually free to act in any way. So freedom is there. Well, we should not neglect the idea of freedom. It's a question of where the conditioned soul or the soul wants to put its attention and activity. When it puts it in devotional service to the Lord, because Krishna is the supreme free of all free. He is not under anyone's control. He is nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bahudha duradanti kama. He is that person who is the source of everything, and everything works under his direction, and nothing, no one controls him, nor is he controlled by anything. He is completely and totally. So when one connects with Krishna through devotional service, one develops freedom also. But what is that freedom? Is it like Krishna, the same type of freedom that one can simply be free from all influences? No, it's the freedom of acting under the care of something that is of your own nature. Because the soul is by nature part and parcel of Krishna. And that soul has an eternal loving relationship with Krishna, and that loving relationship can be expressed in various types of ways. And even in the different ways that that expression can be expressed, there are various ways of expression within the expression. And Prabhupada gives it. Sakya ras, dasya ras, madhurya ras, vatsaya ras. Various moods of relationship with Krishna and varieties of expressions within that, all based on satisfying Krishna and feeling the happiness of that relationship. Because without happiness, what is the question of freedom? I'm free, but I'm miserable, right? Who cares about that kind of freedom? And freedom actually also includes the happiness that comes by way of one's nature, and that nature is expressed only, totally, in the element of freedom when it's under the control of the spiritual energy. Now, Mahamaya, sometimes devotees wonder, am I under the influence of Mahamaya or Yogamaya? That's up to you. That's up to you. We have a choice. Of course, it's interesting. When one is fully engaged in devotional service, then the Yogamaya energy works to increase one's relationship with Krishna and express one's loving service in varieties of ways, keeping Krishna as the object and enhancing the varieties of expressions within that loving service. But when a devotee is still in a mixed state of conditioning and still wants to enjoy the Maya energy and at the same time wants to serve Krishna, then we have an interesting dynamic here. It's not interesting. What happens is that Krishna will use his external energy not in the same way that it is used for the conditioned souls who are absorbed in that energy in order to enjoy, but to push the, what we say, foolish person back towards his loving service. So a little kick here and there to somehow wake the conditioned soul up that, actually, you really want me. You don't want this other stuff. So a little kick here and there. But that's also mercy. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say another name for Maya, another definition for Maya is mercy. So Maya is the friend of the devotee. Prabhupada would say that we have no problems with Maya. Maya is our friend. But somehow she has to act in order to serve those persons who are demoniac in nature. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki. The Mahamaya energy has to serve the demons who want to enjoy and exploit this material energy to the ultimate satisfaction that they can attain. And therefore, because of our service to the demons, sometimes the devotees find themselves in difficulties. In other words, the demons give devotees trouble. And Maya is serving the demons in order to facilitate their activities in this material world. But ultimately, Krishna is protecting his devotees if devotees take shelter of his internal energy. And therefore, the devotees actually thank Maya. We actually thank Maya. You are so wonderful. You are actually a magician. The Maya energy is really powerful. There's so many examples in the scriptures how that Maya energy bewilders even a great soul to think that there's somehow some enjoyment here. I didn't think of an example. Of course, there's one example that's quite outstanding. And there's another one, but there's this one example is Lord Brahma. Although he is the powerful and superior of all the devas, and it says to even to reach his abode is very difficult. It's the highest abode in the material existence. He becomes bewildered sometimes. He thinks that Krishna is just an ordinary cowherd boy, and he steals his cows, calves, and his cowherd boys. He becomes influenced by the external energy and commits an offense to Krishna. And Krishna has to rectify him. So even Brahma, somehow or other, may fall into the illusion. Or, look how many times Indra. Oh my God, there's a whole list of Indras, like deviations, right? Indra, he causes, you know, problems to Krishna in Vrindavan. He starts a big rainstorm and wants to kill Krishna's parts and his intimate associates, the Brijabasis. Imagine that. I mean, what a kind of offense is that? He didn't want to just cause some havoc. He wanted to destroy the inhabitants of Vrindavan because of his pride of being Indra. He was thinking, I'm supposed to get the yajna by these cowherd villagers, which they do every year, on time, without fail. And now this talkative little kid who's just, you know, speaking to influence these people are just ruining my worship. Daddy Bo. And then he starts to act in a very ferocious way, and he wants to kill Krishna and the entire village inhabitants of Raj. Of course, Krishna doesn't tolerate that. But then Indra finally gets, of course, this is a very long pastime. The pastime's coming up in a couple of weeks, or maybe even a week, right? What day is it? The 13th of, 14th of... Soon, very soon. Beautiful pastime. One of the most amazing pastimes in Krishna's Leelas. It's also a big feast. It's one of the biggest ones of the year. And it's a very joyful festival because it's victory for the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the victory for the devotees who fully take shelter of Krishna despite the difficulties and dangers. This is also an interesting point, that although Indra was causing so many difficulties, the inhabitants of Vrindavan only knew one shelter, Krishna. They didn't know anything else but Krishna. And they knew that Krishna could help them and Krishna could save them. So, but back to the point, Indra, such a powerful personality, such a responsible post, such great intelligence, and such facilities to do his service, and such followers, he gets bewildered. So Prabhupada said, what to speak of us? Of course, he's not speaking of himself, but he's using the example that one should never think that I cannot be illusioned by the material energy. At any time, Maya can trap you. Now, will Maya do that to a devotee who was seriously engaged in devotional service? Yes and no. She wants to increase your bhakti to Krishna. So sometimes Krishna allows Maya to present some kind of allurements just that is so perfect to your little bit of attachment that's still left. If you have any attachment to anything in this world, Maya will go right for that and say, okay, this is what you want. Here it is. Come and get it. Boom. You get that also. But that's Maya. Why does Maya do that? Because Krishna allows her to do that just so you can somehow or other get over that attachment. You have to face each and every one of our attachments and say, Hare Krishna, I take shelter of Krishna. And then move on. It's not like your attachments will just go. They do, but they reduce. But Krishna always arranges something. And Maya knows exactly where you're weak. Isn't that interesting? She knows exactly where to hit. It's like if someone is in a boxing match and they're fighting, and there's someone hits someone, then that spot may become a little bit vulnerable. So that person who's an expert fighter will look to hit that spot again because that area is vulnerable. Maya's like that. She'll just keep coming until you say, I want Krishna. I don't want any of this anymore. I'm tired of it. And then somehow we take shelter of Krishna and then engage in Krishna's devotional service, take shelter of the holy name. So that's Maya, like that. But she's our friend. Therefore, Maya is the friend of the devotee. But when the devotee becomes absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then that Maya energy is now the yoga Maya, which enhances the loving relationship between Krishna and his loving part and parcel, like that. And makes that loving relationship sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. So Maya, that energy will work back and forth, even for a devotee. You have to see where we're at like that. But most of the time we're dealing with the external energy in such a way that Krishna is always protecting his devotee. How does he protect the devotee? He gives the devotee intelligence. He gives him remembrance of himself. And he also gives him awareness of the futility of taking shelter of the material energy. And then the devotee takes shelter of Krishna and then no longer Maya is there like that. As Prabhupada said, Maya cannot remain in front of Krishna. She has what is called the thankless task. She has to somehow act in such a way as to bring people away from Krishna or at least present a type of illusion for the conditioned soul that they have a tendency to forget Krishna or to try to think that this is where I can find happiness like that. But when you keep Krishna in front, Maya's in the back. She cannot come in front of Krishna. She's embarrassed. She has a tough service. She has to do something that is very difficult, but she's expert at it. It's amazing. So the material energy is very powerful. Just like we have Markandeya Muni in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He performed so many austerities, performed so many penances, became qualified to receive much spiritual benedictions. The Lord asked him, "What benediction would you want?" He says, "I want to see the power of your Maya." And Krishna laughed. "You sure? you think you can get over that? Okay, good luck." And then there was practically a total devastation. And Markandeya Muni was thrown in the devastation waters for millenniums, and he was being tossed by that energy. But somehow or other, he was able to remember Krishna, but he was suffering so much by the torments of that illusionary energy like that. So Maya is very powerful. And Srishti, Stisti, Palaya, Sada, what is that verse? Srishti, Stisti, Palaya, Sada, Chayeva, Chayeva Vivati Durga, Chayeva, she's a shadow of the reality, but she is also very, very powerful. So devotees, they, Jai Maya, offer of obeisances, Hare Krishna, I'm too busy right now to associate with you. I got service to do. I got rounds to do. When Prabhupada was in Delhi one time, he had just given a wonderful lecture, and so many important people from the local government had come to see Prabhupada and meet Srila Prabhupada. This was back in the very early days when Prabhupada first went to India with his new disciples. And then after the lecture, one man, one very highly placed official, offered full dandavats at the lotus feet of Prabhupada and touched his feet in a very humble, submissive way. The devotees, who were like Americans, you know, who had never seen such humility, were kind of astonished. So they asked Srila Prabhupada afterwards, "What is it about you that attracts a person such as that to act like that?" They were amazed to see such an important person act like a little child in front of Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "I have no lust." And he left. And then he got into his car. The devotees came. Some of the devotees who were there also rode in the same car with Prabhupada on the way back to his quarters. When Prabhupada, it was quite quiet in the car because everybody was thinking, "Wow, God, we must have so much lust." Prabhupada has no lust. And so there was quiet. And Prabhupada could understand the devotees were still thinking like that. So when he got to his place, Prabhupada got out of the car, turned around and looked at the devotees who were there and said, "It's not because I have no lust. It's because I have no time." If you give time to Maya, then, you know, you got an appointment. Don't give Maya any time. That's the bottom line. Keep yourself busy in devotional service. And then when Prabhu, yes, who's there? Maya, "I'm sorry, I'm busy. I got something to do. Come back tomorrow." "Yes, you said to come back tomorrow. I'm here today." "I said tomorrow." "Yes, tomorrow." "Okay." Of course, tomorrow never comes. It's always today. So the point is, don't give Maya any time. That's all. Too busy. Keep yourself engaged, either mentally, by chanting the holy names, reading Prabhupada's books, or doing some activity, Keep the mind connected to the spiritual energy, and then Maya has no influence like that. She'll still try. She'll still try to attract you different ways, but then because you're too busy, no time for Maya. Like that. And it's not hard to get busy in this age, right? Everybody's busy. In fact, people are too busy. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any questions?